So this week is Parshas Kisisa. God says to Moshe, when you count the heads of the Jewish people, everybody should give half a shekel lechaper, koifer, as a kapura, as some kind of an atonement. And the silver from the shekelim was used in the building of the Mishkan. V'asuli migdash, God says, let them make me a sanctuary. V'shachanti b'seichem. So, kisiso, it could have said kitifkoit, when you count. It doesn't say when you count. It says kisiso, when you raise, when you elevate. Interesting medrash. Medrash here in the third psalm, where David HaMelech, King David, is running away from his son. Mizmor le David bevarchoi mifnei Avshalom benoi, is running away from his son Avshalom. He says, Hashem, morabu tzorai, how manifold, how many tzoras I have. Rabim komim oloi, so many people are rising up against me. Rabim oimrim, so many people say lenafshi, to my soul, ein yishuos oloi ve'elokim sela, there's no hope, there's no salvation for my soul in God. So the Medrash says, Reb Shmuel says, this pasuk, this verse, Rabim oimrim lenafshi, many say to my soul, it has no salvation in God. This is doeg and achitofel. These are the rabbi. Who's rabim? Who's the many? Because they're like the word rav means the great. Who are these big people who are scaring David HaMelech, or attempting to scare David HaMelech? So doeg and achitofel, these are the heads of the Sanhedrin. Shehoyu rabim b'toyra, these were the great Torah scholars of King David's generation. King David himself was no ignoramus, right? But Doeg and Achitofel, these were giants. Oimrim lenafshi, and they say to my soul, the Medrash says, Oimrim le David. This is what they said to David. This is what they said to King David. Odom sheshovo es hakivso, a man who captured the sheep, the lamb. Yeah, somebody snatched the lamb. But he didn't just snatch the lamb. V'hora gesaroi, he killed the shepherd. So he wasn't just a sheep thief, but he was also a murderer. He didn't just kill the shepherd. V'hipiles yisro b'chorev, he killed a whole load of Jews by the sword. Yesh lo Yeshua. Such a person, could he possibly be saved? Listen, you steal a sheep and you eat it. All right, so I say you were hungry, but what you go and kill this shepherd for? That means you're not a sinner because you're hungry. You're a sinner. You're a murderer. You're a bad person. Ein Yeshua Salo B'Lekim Sela. Such a person, such a soul, can't expect some kind of salvation. Oma David, and David says to God, Va'ato Hashem, and you God, hiskamto imohem, you agreed with them, v'chosavto b'toyra, and you wrote in your Torah, Mois yumos hanoyef aneofes, the adulterer and the adulteress should be put to death. David HaMelech says, so you're talking about me? Mogein badi, but you God, because the next verse says, Va'atu Hashem mogein badi, you God are my shield. Shehinhakto alai bizchus avoisai, because instead of putting me to death, you spoke up for me, and you protected me. And not just did you not put me to death, but you put me back on my throne. And you raised my head. Instead of my being really, I deserve to have my head chopped off. What did you do? Haramta Roshi, you raised my head. Al Yedei Nosan Hanovi, through the prophet Nathan, who came to David and he said, Gam Hashem Hevich Atoisecho, God has removed your sin, Lo Thomas, you're not going to die. So, instead of having my head chopped off, Meirim Roshi Rabbeinu Shalom, look what you raised me up, and my head was bowed down, and you raised my head up, and you put the throne, the crown back on my head. Rabbonon Posrikaria Bo'evdei Alilim. So that was Rabbi Shmuel, and now the Rabbonon, they interpret the verse in a more general way. They say that the Rabbim, these many, many, are not doigachit oifel. These are the nations of the world who worship idols. V'lamahu koira oisim rabim kamim. Why does the David HaMelech call them the many who stand up? Heve hamoin amim. Because it's not just one nation, but all the nations of the world, they stand up and against us, Jewish people. So now let's read the verse again. Rabim oimrim. Many are they who say l'nafshi, to my soul, Ein yishuas elei b'likim selo, it has no salvation in God. So the Medrash continues, Oimrim li Yisrael, they say to the Jewish people, Umo, a nation, Sheshomo me Elokeho, who heard from the mouth of his own God, Lo yelecho lehim acherim, don't have any other gods. Guys, you Jewish people, you stood there at the Sinai and you heard from the mouth of your own God a voice that came into your own ears that said, do not have any other gods before me. And then after 40 days, not 40 years or 40 millennia, 40 days later, Amru Le'egel, you said to this gold calf, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, these are your gods, O Israel. Yesh lo Yeshua. Could they possibly have any kind of a salvation? In Yishol Selebikim Sela, obviously they've got no salvation in God. Omru Yisrael, so what do the Jewish people say? V'atu Hashem, and you God, Hiskamto Imam, you agreed with them. V'chosavta b'Torah, and you wrote in your own Torah, Zevech l'lehim yochram, anybody who sacrifices anything to a pagan God should be put to death. However, instead of putting me to death, Mogein Badi, you are my shield. Shinhagto leinu b'schus avoseinu, you favored us, and you guide us in the merit of our ancestors. Kvoidi, and my honor, you not only do you not destroy me, but you honor me. Shehishriso shechinoso beninu, because you bring your shechino down to dwell, as it is written, v'osu l'migdash v'shechanti b'seichom. God says, let them make me a sanctuary so that I can dwell among them. Umeirim Roshi, and you raise my head. Tachas shehoyinu chayovim tilui Rosh. Instead of us being sentenced to have our heads chopped off, Nosat olonu haromas Rosh, you give us a raising of the head, as it is written, Kisiso es Rosh b'nei Yisrael, when you raise the heads of the Jewish people. So, this week's Sedra begins with the raising of the head. So it's not just a count, it's not just a census, and it's not just God saying, you know, you need to give me some silver as a kapora, as an atonement for worshipping the gold calf. God says, no, give me this silver because I want to dwell among you. And whether it's the individual David HaMelech, King David, who God says, forget the sin. I've wiped the sin away. You're not dying. Or whether it's the Jewish people that God says, forget the sin. You're not being put to death. Rabim oimrim lenafshi, many are they who say to my soul, Eini shuosu lebelikim sele, it has no salvation in it. So, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, the truth is, David HaMelech, King David, wasn't at a level to do that sin. But if an individual does a sin, we say to him, you know what? You can learn from King David how to do teshuv, how to repent. The truth is, the Gemara says, that the Jewish people were not at a level to do worship the golden calf. It was, if a nation sins and they say, how are we ever going to fix it? So we say to them, look at the Jewish people. So King David and us were instruments with which God teaches lessons to the world. Instead of the world taking that lesson and saying, look at those Jewish people, let's see, look how they take responsibility for what they've done, and then they move on and they don't get bogged down, and they rectify what they can rectify, and they fix what they can fix, and they atone for what they can atone, and then they move on. The world says, there's no fixing those Jews, that's it. So the way this Gemara is usually quoted, we say, La'olam lo yo David roi lo isemase. The truth is that David wasn't at the level, wasn't fit, wasn't to do that deed. Her lahoira is tshuva leyochid, to teach teshuva to the individual. And the Yidden lo'olam yisro roim lo isemase. The Yidden were not fit to do that deed of the egel, of the golden calf. Her lahoira is tshuva lerabim, to teach the rabim how to do teshuva. I want to say that even though it's a misquote of the Gemara, nevertheless, this is how it's very often quoted in Sefarim. So, David HaMelech teaches us how to do teshuva for the Yochid, and the Egel story teaches how to do teshuva lerabim. So, I want to say that it's not talking about the rabim. And the yochid, the individual, and the many are not talking about the sinners. It's the other way around. Lahoiris tshuva l'rabim, when we talk about teaching teshuva to the rabim, we're talking about the rabim, the many who say to me that there's no salvation for my soul. And the yochid, the individual, it's not the individual sinner, but we're talking about the individual voice that tells me that there's no salvation. And the way we read the sentence, it makes a difference in how we understand the teaching. Like we say, Mishenechnes Adar Marbin Besimcha. When the month of Adar comes in, Marbin B'Simcha, we increase our joy. Mishenechnes Av, and when the month of Av comes in, Mematin B'Simcha, we decrease our joy. We don't have to read the sentence that way. We can say, Mishenechnes Adar Marbin. And when the month of Adar comes in, then we are Marbin, meaning that we spread out. We allow ourselves, once a year, really to let go our boundaries in ways that we wouldn't all the year around, and just to allow ourselves hispashtus to spread. But we can only do this if it's besimcha. If we do it with joy, then the simcha is what protects the hispashtus from becoming hoilelus. What's to protect us from ourselves, you know, in our spreading out from, you know, just being hedonistic and just enjoying pleasure for pleasure's sake? The simcha that we have in the nes, in the story of Purim, and in the miracles that happened, in our awareness of what we're doing, that is what prevents the ribui, That's what prevents this spreading out from being something less than holy. And the same thing is with the month of Av, which we normally translate Mishenichnas Av, Mematim Besimcha. When the month of Av comes in, we reduce the joy. That's not the meaning. But Mishenichnas Av Mematim, that when the month of Av comes in, so we contract ourselves, we reduce ourselves, and we don't allow ourselves to enjoy. We don't bathe and drinking wine and eating meat and so forth. And we're very strict about not enjoying music and simchas and stuff like that. Family simchas, we avoid making weddings and so forth. However, the halacha is it's only holy if we do it besimcha. So Mishnichnis Av Mematin, we reduce, but it has to be with simcha. Because if it's not with simcha, it's probably not going to be holy. Just as the marbin that we do in Adar is probably not going to be holy unless we do it with simcha. Simcha is the key that prevents us when we're enjoying stuff. It prevents us from enjoying things in the wrong way. And also, when we're in a time of contraction and ascetic denial, then what prevents it from being sinful is only the simcha that we're in. So here, in this week, in the Sedra, and the Matz of Tshuva LeRabim and Tshuva LeYochid, LeHoyrois Tshuva LeRabim means to teach us how to answer the Rabim. That's why we need to have the story of the gold calf, and we need to have the story of King David and Bathsheba in order to teach us teshuva l'rabim. How do we answer those many voices? And how do we answer that lone voice? It's interesting. David HaMelech in Psalm 25 begins, L'David Elecho Hashem Nafshi Esav, God, I lift my soul to you. Elokai, my God, b'cho betachti, I had so much faith in you. Alei voisho, please, let me not be ashamed. Alialtsu oivai lid, let not my enemies laugh at me. And then he says in verse 15-16, Einai tomid el Hashem, my eyes are always towards God. Ki hu yoitzi mireshes ragle, because God is the one who will take my feet out of the net. Pnei Eli, please God, turn towards me, v'choneni, and have mercy on me and give me chen, give me grace, be gracious to me. Ki yochid v'oni ani, because I'm alone and I'm poor. King David is saying, ki yochid v'oni, I'm a yochid and I'm an oni. I'm a poor man and I'm an individual. I'm alone. So the Medrash asks, what's he talking about? V'chi yochid v'oni hoyed David? What, David was alone? It says David was the seventh son of Yishai. Does he mean he was alone? He's like an only child? Like, what does he mean when he says I'm alone? And what does he mean when he says I'm poor? We know that King David, he gathered tremendous amount of wealth and he set it aside for the building of the temple, and God said to him, no, you can't build the temple because you're a warrior. Your son Shlomo is a man of peace, he will build the temple. David HaMelech was not a poor man. So the man says, Ela Oma David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David says to God, Lifi Shenismanisi Melech Al Bonecho, because I've been appointed king on your children, a name tluyas be, so their eyes turn to me. Ve'eni, my eyes tluyas boch, so my eyes turn to you. So I've got a million people who are looking at me as their king, and who do I have to turn to? I only have to turn to you. Shehem b'necho rabim, because they, your children, are so many. V'ani yochid kinegdem, I'm just an individual. I'm just one person. They look at me, they think I can do things. I can do miracles. I can make things happen. I'm the king. All I have to do is command and you know, help them and save them and this. And Rabbi Shalom, you know, it's not like that. I can only turn to you and ask you, please. So in that sense, David HaMelech is an individual. So then he says, Re'ei oivai ki robu. Look at my enemies who are so many. V'sinas chomos sneuni, and they hate me with so much hatred. With so much hatred. Shamro nafshi, please, Rabbani Shalom, guard my soul, v'hatzileni, and save me, al evoish, and let me not be ashamed, ki chasisi bach, that I had so much faith in you. So the Medrash goes on and says, Re'ei oivai ki rabu, look at my enemies that are so many. Ki rabu, v'sinas choma sinuni, and they hate me with this hatred that they would. It's a violent hatred. So the Magi says, very interesting. Im Esav soina le Yaakov, if Esav hates Yaakov, if Esau hates Jacob, nu, I can understand it. Shenotam imenu habachoira, because the bottom line is that Jacob made Esau forego his bechoira, his birthright, which was the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. Yaakov says to Esav, Michr kayom bechoras choli, sell me today your birthright. And Esav sells it him, and he loses the land of Israel forever and ever. So the Medrash says, Yaakov says, I can understand, and David HaMelech says, you know, I can understand Edom, Rome, I can understand why they hate me. Because after all, I have something I took from them. V'hadin imoy, you know, you got to say, you know, the law's on his side, if not quite on his side, but you know, I can understand. The barburiyim, the barbarians, the Medrash says, ulantusim, and the Goths. Ma also, what did Yaakov do to the Germans? The barbarians in classic times, there was the Goths, there was the Germans, the Germanic tribes. So what did we do to them that they came and they fell on us? I want to say, Amalek does two things. We were learning almost every year it comes up, and almost every week it comes up. Minayin remez lahoman min ha-Torah. The Gemara says, where is there a hint to Haman in the Torah? And it says, Hamin ha-Eitz. Have you eaten? God says to Adam, have you eaten from the tree of knowledge that I commanded you not to eat of it? So this word Hamin, from, don't read it Hamin, read it Haman. And then the Gemara continues, and where is there a hint to Esther in the Torah? It says, on that day, Enochi hasti astir esponai, I will hide my face. So don't read it Hasti Asti, read it Esther. Gemara says, so where is there remez to Mordechai in the Torah? And it says, Kach lecho b'somim roish, take these spices, mordroir, pure myrrh. And the Aramaic translation of mordroir is morodachio. Pure myrrh is morodachio. Morodachio is Mordechai. So this Ishbit Satorah we've learned many times. What is the connection between Haman and the eating from the tree of knowledge that God asks Adam, did you eat? That God's question to Adam is, do you really believe that I would let you do something that would destroy yourself? What kind of creator are you envisaging when you think about me? What kind of, what does this say about you that you believe that I would create you, and on the same day that I create you, I would allow you to make such a blunder, such a sin, such a destructive act that then undoes all the good that you're capable of, and then dooms you to die and to pain and to this. What does it say about, what are you saying about me, says God to Adam, that you believe such a thing? Do you really believe that you've eaten of something and you've done something so bad that everything is ruined? How could you believe such a thing? And the answer is, of course you can believe such a thing if you've got Haman inside your head. If Amalek has anything to do with it, that's exactly it. Haman is the one who tells us, you know why you did that? You did that because you cut off from God. That's how you come to do such a terrible thing. Immediately that Adam and Chava have eaten from the tree of knowledge, they feel ashamed. They're naked. They know they're naked. So why don't they feel guilty? Why do they feel ashamed? Because there's a big difference between guilt and shame. Guilt emphasizes a worth, you know, like, how could I have done such a thing? This is a terrible thing that I did. A person like me shouldn't have done such a thing. And that it's a guilt. That's the expression of my guilt. I feel guilty that I did such a thing. A person like me shouldn't do such a thing. That expression of guilt also is an expression of my self-worth. Self-value. It's an affirmation of myself. Shame says, I know why I did what I did. I'm worthless. That's why I did what I did. I'm flawed. That's why I did what I did. I did what I did because how could I do anything else? Look at me. I'm a worthless thing. Therefore, it's no surprise that I've got. So the shame is the opposite of guilt. Shame emphasizes the lack of worth. So as soon as Adam and Chava have eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they're ashamed. Why? Because that voice inside the head is saying, yeah, of course you did. You're worthless. That's how you could come to do such a thing. B'zgur nishveret. And God says to Adam, how could you believe that you're going to shveret? How could you believe you're worthless? What does that say about me? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tana. That's God's argument with Adam. What does it say about me that you believe for a minute that I would allow you to do something so ruinous? So the Gemara says, what did the Yidden do in the time of Achashverosh that was so bad that they deserved to be put to death, like in the decree of Haman? The Gemara says, well, maybe because they all ate the su'ud of Achashverosh. Achashverosh made a su'ud first for 6 months for all the bigwigs, and then for 7 days he made a su'ud, a feast for all the people living in Shushan, and they served trefer. And the wine was the wine Nesach, and there was a bacchanal, right? It was a worship of all kinds of paganism going on there. So the Gemara says, well, all right, so then the Yidden, let's say the Yidden in Shushan, they deserve to die. But what about all the Yidden all over the world? And so the Gemara says, they bowed to the idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So the Ishbitzer says, you know what it means to bow to the idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar? It means that you think to yourself, you know what? I really messed up. I became a little bit pagan. There's something inside me pagan. That means you bow. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachve. Of all the Eden in that generation, only Mordechai is the one who doesn't bow. He doesn't bow to Haman. What does it mean he doesn't bow? Physically, we know what it means. He refuses to bow. But that's not what it means spiritually. Spiritually, it means he says, what's the matter with everybody? Why is everybody like so down on themselves? Well, they bowed. Who bowed? We didn't bow. Inside us, we're Jews. Inside us, we're connected to God. We're the Yitzir Kapov. We are the creatures of God. What are we getting all messed up in our heads, and we're allowing ourselves to believe that we ever worshipped idols? What's a load of rubbish? Even those people who did bow down, that was leponim, that was just on the face of it. Inside, that person would gladly have given his life not to have to do that. No Jew ever bowed. When we looked at Mordechai, we were able to see in ourselves that spark of us that was still alight. Trouble is, we didn't want to look at Mordechai, because all the great rabbis of the time said Mordechai is wrong. In fact, Mordechai was trying to teach us all. He said, come on, Chevre, let's sit outside the king's palace and wait for Haman to come, and we won't bow. And everybody says, no, Mordechai, you get us all into trouble if you do that. Come on, go home and don't bow. Don't make a big scene. Don't make waves, right? This is a Jewish joke about these two people who are standing up against the wall, right? And they're going to Yidden Nebuch, going to be shot. And the commandant comes and he says, okay, before you're shot, would you like to have a last request? You know, maybe they would offer them a cigarette or something like that. And this Yid, one of them, he spits at the German and he says, I don't need your cigarette. The other one says, no, don't make waves. Because there is a part of us that wants to say, yeah, if I don't make waves, everything will go away and it'll be okay. And it's like even when Haman is making his decrees, part of us is saying, don't make waves. Mordechai says, make waves. Because what does it mean to make waves? It means that I affirm my worth in the face of your assessment of my worth. I keep on affirming my worth. We didn't want to listen to Mordechai because it wasn't less expensive to listen to the others, but we have this voice of Amalek inside us so deep. And I want to say that this is the Rabbim. Rabbim oimrim lenafshi, and Yeshuoso loy belikim selo, that there's no salvation for my soul. These are these voices that we hear all the time that say, it's finished for you. It's over. You ruined it. Whatever it is that you had one time, a beautiful, clear, beautiful, pure soul that was holy and innocent and unpolluted, but it's ruined. So on the one side we have Mordechai Morodachio, the purest myrrh, the purest of the pure, that just to look at him was to see that there's a Yid who has no, who's completely untouched. He also came from Babylon, Ima Goyla Sheglus Haglon. In Yechonya Melech Yehuda, Mordechai was one of those who left Yerushalayim already before the big main exile of Nebuchadnezzar, because he could see, you know, if Yechonya Melech Yehuda is already going to, if the king of Yehuda is gone, it's like there's no point in staying in Yerushalayim, and he went early. Nevertheless, everybody bowed. Mordechai said, we never bowed. Everybody ate. Mordechai said, we never ate. See, Mordechai is the one who keeps on affirming it never happened. In the face of the evidence, it happened. He says, no, it never happened. It never happened because we are not touched by all these things. All these things that the goyim say, you did this and you did that. And it looks, and you've got a movie that shows that it happened. You got a video. It's not like you see. My father used to say to me, Heshi, believe nothing of what you hear and only half of what you see mamish with your own eyes. Because Mordechai is telling us There's another narrative. It's not like you think. So Rabim Omrim Lenafshi, the many who keep on telling me, and this is Amalek. Amalek after the fact. But then there's Esther. What does Esther say? Esther says in this is Psalm 22, Lam Natzeich al Ayelas HaShachar. The Medrash says, the Gemara says, this is this whole Psalm 22, which is the one before 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The one immediately before that is it's the story of Esther. She says, Hatzila micherev nafshi, save my soul from the sword, miyad kelev, from the hand of the dog, yechidosi, my yechida. She's on her way into the chamber to see the king after fasting for 3 days, and all of a sudden, even though it says Vatilbash Esther Malchus, that Esther wrapped herself in Malchus in the Shekhinah, nevertheless Nistalkum imena Shekhinah, the Shekhinah left her, and she was right in the middle of this. There was like a labyrinth, like a whole series of corridors that he had to pass through to get to the inner chamber where the king's throne room was. And she felt the Shekhinah had left her. And so the second verse of the psalm begins, Keli, Keli, my God, Loma Azavtoni, why have you abandoned me? A moment ago I was wrapped in the Shekhinah, and now I know, I can feel that it's gone. Rochoik mishuosi, so far from my salvation. Divrei Shagosi, the words of my cry. And so she cries. Va'atu Hashem al tirchok. Please God, don't be far away. Hatzila micherev nafshi miyad kelev yichidos. So I want to say that this yichida that she's talking about is the same yichida that David HaMelech talks about in verse 25, where he says, Ki yochid va'oni ani. I'm alone. See, Amalek has two aspects. On the one hand, he says, you did it, it's finished. It's gone. There's no fixing. You know why you did it? You did it because you're a bad person, that's why. Nobody but a bad person would have done such a thing. So that's the job of Mordechai, is to show us that it doesn't matter what we did, we always stayed connected. And even in the moment when we did that, we were still connected, not like Amalek says. But there's Amalek before the fact. Amalek says, listen guys, you believe everything is from God and everything is ordained and God is in charge of the world, so what are you worried about? Just do it. So that's the other aspect of Amalek. I'm a believer, sure, God is in charge of the world. Everything that I do is ordained by God, and so I can do whatever I want. So, Esther, can you imagine the contrast for us watching these two, watching this drama happening, unfolding? Mordechai, lo yichra v'lo yishtachva. Mordechai will not bend and will not bow, and he will not give. He's like an iron rod in front of Haman, and he says, no. No. And look at Esther, inside there in the palace, hanging out. She's partying. With who? With Achashverosh or with Haman. What's she saying? What's the message that she's delivering to us? So the Torah, the Gemara says, where is there a remez? Where is there a remez to Esther in the Torah? Anoichi Haster, Aster is Ponai, the Ishbitzer says, what's Haster, Aster? Not I'm going to hide myself. If God hides himself, It's playing hide and seek. That's gonisht. If somebody hides themselves, then you go looking for them. Hasti asti means I'm going to hide my hiddenness. You're not going to know that I'm hidden, meaning you're not even going to be able to be sure that I'm there. Your certainty that I'm there is going to leave you. You're not going to be able to see, I'm just going to break through this curtain, I'm going to see God, I know God is... You're not going to be able to do that. On that day, Hanoichi Ahastir, Astir, I'm going to hide the fact that I'm hidden, and you're going to forget the fact that you've forgotten, and you won't be able to see that you can't see. That's the dilemma. When Amalek is so loud, and he says, you know, this, what is it that you're saying? You're saying that you're in the hands of God? You can do anything. You can do anything you want to. I mean, your hands on God. You know, just do whatever you want and blame it on God. We don't, do we? Even though, after the fact, Mordechai teaches us, whatever you did, you should know that it was Hashgacha Protis, it was all with individual divine providence. That's what Mordechai is teaching us. And yet Esther says, I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to use that as a license to do what I want when I'm in the palace. I'm not going to use that after the fact argument before the fact. That's Amalek. So then, what does Esther take with her when she goes to offer her body to Ahasuerus? What does she take with? And here she's saying, Rabbi Nishan, Master of the Universe, protect me from this dog. And then the Gemara says, oh, she thought to herself, maybe the reason that the God is to ban me is because I call Ahasuerus a dog. So she, the next verse she refers to him as a lion, you know. She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's mamish hanoichi hastir astir. But there's something inside her that says, Rabbi Shalom, Master of the Universe, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. At this moment, I can't see my way to taking the next step. My tongue is stuck to the roof of my mouth. I'm so terrified. My legs are trembling. My knees are knocking together. I don't know what to do, Rabbi Shalom. And all the time, she's talking to God. Even though she can't see her way through to God, she's still talking to God. And that talking to God, that's the Malchus. And so, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, the Degamach Nephraim, says, he brings the Pasuk, he Esther Bas Doidoi, she's Esther, the Pasuk in the Megillah, she's Esther, the daughter of his uncle, his cousin, talking about Mordechai. So the word Doidoi is written Dalet, Dalet Vav. There's a Vav missing. So he brings the Balaturim, Oy doidoy, oy ben doidoy, Yigolenu is a pusik that if somebody sells their property, then his cousin or his uncle, his cousin can come and redeem it. Ben doidoy, the Balaturim says, is written without a Vav, so it's like Ben David. The words doidoy is Dalet, Dalet Vav. Just put the Vav there in the middle, it's Ben David Yigolenu, so Ben David will redeem it. So here in the Megillah, he Esther Bas Doidoi, she's Esther Bas David. Why is she Esther Bas David, even though she's from the tribe of Binyamin? Because all Geula, all salvation, has to come about through Malchus. Malchus is King David. So she's from the tribe of Binyamin, so God gives her something of that nature, of that specialness of King David. And what is it? You should know, on Yerush Hashanah Yom Kippur, we daven uvechein tein pachtechon and uvechein tzadikim and uvechein tein kovoid. Three times we say uvechein. So, who said uvechein? Esther said uvechein ovo el hamelech kasher vadati avadati. So the uvechein comes from Esther. She's the one who doesn't stop davening. This is something that David HaMelech gives her, that she doesn't stop davening. And so she's here in the Tehillim together with David HaMelech. And she doesn't stop davening, even though all the Shekhinah, all the holiness, everything, the Ruach HaKodesh has left her, because everything is so hidden. So the thing to carry away is, on the one hand, I have to not listen to the voices that say everything is ruined. And on the other hand, I'm going through my life and I don't know what to do. All I know is everything feels wrong. I need to keep on davening. I need to keep my dialogue. I need to keep on saying, Rabboni Shel Olam, Yochid Va'oni Ani. I'm alone, I'm impoverished. Help. I want to bless you and me. We should have Nesias Rosh. We should have a raising of our head this Purim. We should feel the Esther inside us who never stops davening. And we should feel the Mordechai inside us who never keeps affirming the fact that we are innocent and always connected to God. And we should have a successful Mechias Amalek. We should be able to eradicate the Amalek inside us, who is constantly putting us down. Bless you and me. We should have a beautiful Freilich and Kushin Yontif. Thank you.